I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. He joins us every Monday in the 12 o'clock hour, and we appreciate same. Guy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. It's good to be with you.
Guy, let's start out with gold sales. Gold price up and gold sales up?
Yeah, it's an interesting phenomena, and it's occurring around the world. What we see is a trend of gold prices going up. It's pushed into the retail sector, where Costco is now selling little gold bars. So every two or three months, Costco will get a new shipment of little gold bars, and they sell out. So they're actually selling literal gold to people. And one of the things that's also occurring is we're seeing central banks move to gold. And I think as the central banks look around the world, they see inflation, they see currency instability, and some of them are saying, well, maybe we'll just hedge our bets with a different investment. And so we're seeing gold purchases, particularly by the Chinese central bank. And I think China's challenge is they're sort of mad at everybody except Russia and Iran. Well, they're not stupid enough to put their money in either Iran or Russia. They don't want to put their money in the European Union. They would rather not invest in the United States. So they're thinking, well, where can we put our money? And so the Chinese central bank has increased their gold holdings. And it's really a sign of, their dispute with the rest of the world. But we're seeing this go on around the world. And I think part of it is just a feeling of uncertainty by both individuals and central banks.
So what is the threshold of that level of uncertainty that causes this? I mean, if we just look back 3 months, gold back at the beginning of the year was, what, about $2,100 an ounce? I think it's right beneath $2,400 an ounce now. We go through these cycles of uncertainty all the time, but it seems as though, you know, that it's having a it seems as though at some points in time during the year it has more of an influence than otherwise.
You're right, and I think we have a unique confluence of events that's really causing this. You start with Russia's invasion of Ukraine. A lot of people 2 years ago thought Russia would win quickly. It's been going on for 2 years, and it looks like it'll be going on for a while. Then you add the Middle East instability, which perked up with the attacks in October, and that looks like it may go on for a while. Then you add the Red Sea instability, and then you add Iran and Israel just trading missile attacks against each other. You add in Africa, where you have significant problems in South Sudan. And so globally, people look around and they say, man, this is a real troubled situation around the world. And then it's cumulative. And one of the problems is right now we're in the middle of an election season. And it doesn't matter which side you're on, the people running ads know that in order to influence voters, they need to make voters either mad or afraid. And so both sides run ads with the intention of making a voter mad or afraid. And when you watch ads, it's sort of fun to step back intellectually and say, okay, which emotion are they trying to pitch? Well, when you think about those different international problems, you think about the political ads, particularly if you're in a swing state, and then you look at things like inflation, which the Federal Reserve said, oh, it's all over, you know, it's trending down, it's done. And then the last 3 months, it's ticked up. So one thing compounds upon another. And then you have normal companies that are taking advantage. You've probably seen it, and I have too, when it pops up on the internet feed, you know, buy survival food. Well, you don't really need survival food, except maybe a week or so when the power goes out. But they're pushing that as well. And this level of anxiety is something that is pushing the gold price up, because people are thinking, well, what's the one stable thing? And they forget that gold prices can go up and down, and it doesn't pay any interest. You don't get a return on gold. It's just a place to park money.
No, absolutely. But let me ask this question, because I, you know, this is one of those crazy conversations that we have sometimes at lunch with folks. Why is gold different as it relates to the influences as opposed to silver or platinum? You know, if you go back 3 years, platinum was like the hot thing, right? It was over almost $1,500 an ounce, if I remember correctly. Now it's dipping below $1,000 an ounce, and it seems as though it's moving in the opposite direction from gold, and silver is kind of a similar happenstance.
Yeah, and, you know, once upon a time, people also talked about diamonds being the place to put your money, but the average individual has no way to evaluate how good a raw diamond is, and certainly no way to know for sure that someone would buy it. I think one thing about gold, if you go all the way back to when we were children reading books, you know, gold was the one that was in the fairy tales. The leprechaun would give you a pot of gold. The pirates were burying the gold. And, you know, the medieval castle, the lord of the castle would have gold. So it resonates just through the ages. People always think of gold, and we also wear gold, so you see it all the time. And I think that's why this commodity is different from the others. Platinum is actually used in a lot of industrial applications and has more utility than gold does. But gold has the allure and the status. There aren't, I can't think of a single fairy tale where they mention platinum.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah. But I guess there are some that mention silver, though, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you, and it seems to always kind of move in a different direction than gold a lot of times. It's like, you know, I remember in the not too distant past, I think it was back in 23, people were saying invest in silver.
Yeah, and you may remember when the Hunts, who were one of the richest families in the world, decided they were going to quarter the silver market and went from being one of the richest to being one of the poorer of the rich people by trying to corner the silver market. I think the other thing about silver is, but other than not having the historical allure, you also don't have the built-in demand. There are entire countries like India where having a bit of gold is just part of being a successful person. Same is true in a lot of the Arab countries, where you just want to have some gold just in case. So I think the lack of that historic basis, the lack of two big countries that demand it, probably keeps silver and platinum from being the commodity that gold is.
The only thing that might confound me and confuse me more than gold and silver and platinum as commodities will be where people break on the issue of TikTok. It seems as though the more I read, the more confused I get as to where folks are breaking out on that issue. Your thoughts?
Well, it's interesting. And one of the challenges that we have with TikTok is that we really, as a country, have not explained why we object to TikTok. One of the problems with TikTok is it is very, very addictive. Their algorithm is incredibly successful. They've made it such that people get stuck and they get in a doom loop of just watching TikTok. The the company is controlled in China by a company called ByteDance. And if you're a Chinese company, you're obligated to supply any information, any intellectual property that you have to the Chinese government whenever they ask for it. So there's a genuine security risk. The other thing that we really don't address very evenly or fairly is in China, you can't access American websites. You can't access Google. You can't access Spotify. You can't access ABC News, BBC, WWL Radio. You can't access the Wall Street Journal. You can't access Instagram. You can't access YouTube, Netflix, etc. They have what's called the Great Firewall of China to keep all of these things out. And it's interesting, as the House passed a divestiture law, the people at TikTok said, we're going to pursue all of the legal remedies to make sure that free speech and TikTok are protected in the U.S. And I thought, wait a minute. TikTok is not available in China. You know that this is dangerous for children. You can't access TikTok in China, but you're going to sue the United States because we're saying that something that you know is dangerous, that you know you're using to influence American kids, is going to be outlawed. And it's because the United States is not like China, they're not going to take TikTok off of your cell phone. What's going to happen is the law says, starting in a year, if they haven't divested, the stores like the Apple Store and the Play Store will not be able to update TikTok. So it basically will become an unsupported app with no updates over time. So it's not anywhere near as harsh as what China's doing. But we already have China pushing free speech arguments, which is really, I mean, that's rich because there is no free speech in China.
Exactly.
So they're arguing that free speech demands that we allow TikTok. The other thing, and this is where they outsmart themselves, they had a lot of Chinese diplomats lobbying American congressional offices and Senate offices, saying this is important to the Chinese government. And the senators and congressmen are both saying, you know, that's sort of exactly the point. That's why we are banning it. You're supporting what we're saying. It is important to the Chinese government that you be able to continue to influence people in the U.S. with TikTok. And we don't think that's a good idea. We don't think the Chinese government should be doing that. So they're trying to, and TikTok is pretty darn clever, except sometimes they overplay. They sent messages to their users with links to the congressional offices. And so some of my friends in D.C. were getting calls saying, you know, you can't ban TikTok. I won't be able to see dance videos. And they're getting these calls by the dozens. And when they track it back, it turns out TikTok is the one originating. It's like, so the Chinese government is using their site to try and influence congressional action. You know, it's proving the very point that we're trying to make, which is this is a dangerous application. And the people that run it really do want to influence American politics.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this ultimately plays itself out. And it's just interesting how certain folks with an ideological bent break on this issue. And it runs counter to where you traditionally might find them, right? And so it's really an interesting topic to follow.
And one of the things that disturbs me about TikTok is when psychologists study TikTok users, they find that a significant number of them change their career aspirations. And after a significant amount of time on TikTok, they want to be media and internet influencers. And that becomes the number one job that they think is what they will want to do when they become adults. And this is something driven by the TikTok algorithm. So it's focusing people on essentially a totally non-productive career. You're not making the country stronger and better if we have more influencers showing special dance moves, special, you know, whatever, you know, makeup or clothing. And yet this is something where they've been able to push opinion. And on the flip side, in China, with the general media app that they allow, it pushes Chinese children to want to be engineers, scientists, inventors, and business owners. So
yeah, good figure.
We see a push. Yeah, I mean, what do you think they're trying to do? It's like, okay, here's a cheap way to make America weaker, get people to aspire to a sort of nonsensical career. I mean, it reminds me of Charles Barkley's speech to a school in Philadelphia. And he said, how many of y'all want to play in the NBA? And a number of hands went up. He said, how many of y'all want to be doctors? And a few hands went up. He said, let me tell you something. There are only 400 players in the NBA, and they come from around the world. You're not going to the NBA, but there are thousands and thousands of doctors. You're being sold a bill of goods. You need to aspire to be a doctor. And this is coming from Charles Barkley, the NBA player. He said, your aspiration should be something that's practical, beneficial, and helps the community. And I think China's looking at it the same way with TikTok, is let's plant aspirations that aren't productive in American citizens, and let's plant aspirations that are very productive in Chinese citizens.
Well, you know, it's interesting. If you talk to military experts, they all tell you that they doubt very seriously we're ever going to end up in a traditional war with the Chinese, because they recognize that they can defeat us from within, right? You know, you go to the financial markets, you see them where they actually need to be, right? You go to any market of anything, it's all going to come back to the Chinese. They don't need to engage us in any other way. They'll just manipulate us internally.
Yeah, and if you're in China and you're thinking, okay, what do we want to do with the U.S.? What you'd really like to do is make the U.S. not particularly powerful and not be able to impose its will beyond its borders. Trying to invade the U.S. from China, it'd be an inordinately difficult task because we're so darn far away. And that's one of the great benefits that we have in America, is we're separated by two big oceans, and we have friendly countries on our north and south. We've got Mexicans to the south, the Canadians to the north. But China, looking at the U.S., says we never want to fight a conventional war, but an intellectual war, an internet war, a Cold War where we can weaken the U.S. and become the predominant economic power, that fits into their aspirations. And to the extent you can do it electronically, it's relatively inexpensive. Doesn't cost any Chinese lives. And, you know, I'm not a conspiracy guy, but I was having lunch with a guy from Del Rio, Texas yesterday. And I just said, well, what's up on the border? He said, you know, we've got offices up and down the border. And it's amazing how many of the people coming across the border are Chinese. I said, I thought they were all Mexican. He said, no, it's really not. I mean, basically, we all speak Spanish down here. You can't communicate with the people coming in. So it's an interesting time. And my hope is maybe these are Chinese that just want to get away from the oppression in China and start a new life. And that's my good hope. The bad hope is, hey, it's a cheap way for a few people to come across with bad intentions.
Rest assured, we'll never know. that's one of the issues that we're facing right now, for sure. Got to get to a break. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or
I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ready to go party? Now's your chance to win a pair of tickets to Jazz Fest. Today's password is Creole, C-R-E-O-L-E. That's Creole. Now go to WWL.com/contest and register to win. It's that easy. Don't miss your chance to win Jazz Fest tickets, plus round-trip Jazz Fest Express shuttle passes. WWL is giving away a pair every day this week. All you have to do is listen to Tommy, me, Scoot, or Sports Talk for the Jazz Fest password of the day to see amazing artists like Foo Fighters, Neil Young, Bonnie Raitt, Queen Latifah, Hozier, Greta Van Fleet, Trombone Shorty, and more. Good luck and happy festing from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. We're visiting with Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Guy, a lot went on over the weekend in D.C. Some people are happy about what happened, and some are very upset.
You're right. And really, I think sometimes we criticize our politicians, and there are times when they deserve to be criticized, but I think there are other times when we have to step back and say, look, that was an act of leadership. And in this case, our own Mike Johnson from Louisiana, Speaker of the House, stepped up over the weekend and put together a reasonable compromise that was supported by a strong majority of both sides of the aisle. And what he did is he said, look, everybody wants 72 hours to read the bills, so we're going to have a vote on Saturday. That's very unusual in the House. So gave everybody 72 hours. And then he said, we're going to break the bills down into different parts because some people are for one, some are opposed to another. Each of you can vote your conscience. And so he put together a package. The Senate sent over a $95 billion package, and he broke it into parts. $60.8 billion for Ukraine. So up and down vote for Ukraine. Some people think it's a great idea to cut Ukraine off and let Putin win. To me, that is incredibly scary. I think that would be like letting Hitler win in the run-up to World War II, which is what made the war so difficult. But that bill got passed. A majority of Republicans, a majority of Democrats voted for aid to Ukraine. Another bill for aid to Israel and U.S. operations in the Middle East, because it's not just Israel. Our bases in Iraq and Syria and other places are being attacked. $26.4 billion, that passed with a majority. Another $8.1 billion to counter China and bolster our defenses in the Far East and the Pacific region. So you put together these different packages, let everybody vote yes or no. The Senate has said they will take them up very early this week, if not today, tomorrow. And the president has said he'll sign all of them. So Speaker Johnson stepped up. I think showed good leadership. Some of the real radical members of his party have said, well, we may activate the motion to vacate and you'll lose your job. The speaker said, you know, there's some things that are worth losing your job over. You know, there's some integrity issues where this is just too important to not do. So I don't think he'll lose his job, because on the other side of the aisle, the Democrats have said, look, we're in election season already. It doesn't help the U.S. to have a revolving door. We on Team D feel like we're going to win the House, so we're not going to help the radical group depose the speaker in this short window. Now, we'll see what happens when a vote occurs if the radical group moves to push Johnson out. But if they do, the Democrats seem to be indicating they'll support him with the hope that they'll have the majority next time around. So a very busy weekend. Some very important bills got passed. And for the United States to be a global leader, when we make promises to support allies, we really have to do it. If we don't, then it literally is true. The whole world is watching. So I was impressed. I was glad that it happened. And I know people are upset about different parts of these bills, but I think overall it was a good weekend for the United States.
You know what I liked about it most? Up or down, individual issue. I mean, that almost never happens, right?
Yeah, I'm with you, because that lets people say, look, I'm for this bill on the Middle East. I'm opposed to the one in Ukraine or vice versa. And then you go back to your constituents and explain why you voted the way you did versus an omnibus where you say, well, there was enough good stuff, I had to swallow the bad.
Yeah, that's what I love about this bill, how they repackage it on the Senate side. I wish they would all do it this way, because I think it makes sense. When you talk about these omnibus bills, I've watched it for a long time. I still don't understand sometimes what they're doing. You know, so those that don't watch it at all, they don't have a clue of ever understanding how this works.
Well, and if you talk to people in D.C., they'll tell you they don't have a clue either, because unless you're in the leadership, you're not there when the bill is written. A phone book arrives on your desk at 9 a.m., and you have to vote at 9:15, and you're basically told, look, if you're on Team R, we're voting no, or if you're on Team D, we're voting yes, and so you have to line up with your party and vote on a bill that you have not had a chance to read or study, and things are always buried in the details. Some are dumb. I mean, you know, you'll have occasional just stupid breaks for specific industries, specific people, and there's no way to know it because it's all done by the leadership and stuck in an omnibus bill.
Yeah, it's good. Hopefully we see more of that. Obviously, the markets have been watching what's going on the weekend. What do you think their reaction is going to be?
Well, I think it's overall positive. We're in an amazing situation. You know, the market's up across the board. S&P's up, NASDAQ's up. So U.S. sentiment is good. We're the strongest economy in the world. I mean, we have our challenges, but compared to the rest of the world, we're by far the least dirty shirt. So you definitely want to be here. And I think the overall result's going to be good. One of the things we talked about TikTok earlier, they rewrote the bill to make it less susceptible to challenge. And it's not, as I say, an outright ban of TikTok. It's a ban on the app stores updating TikTok. It gives them a year to sell. And it's interesting because the Chinese have said, there's no way we'll sell this. You know, it's too important to our economy and to our country. It's like, well, if that's indeed true, that's a good reason for us to insist that you do sell it. If this is so important to your propaganda goals that you don't want to let go of it, then I think we're on to something, and we should push you out of it.
Yeah, that's telling, huh? That's scary.
Oh, it really is. And I think the fact that when they were using their influence to try and change congressional votes, when they did that, plus when they sent diplomats to the Hill to lobby, you got an idea of how very important they consider this tool. And I think those things together, plus the fact that, I mean, the one that just gets me over and over is, you cannot use TikTok in China. They consider it too dangerous to children. So, you know, it's like having a food product that's really not very healthy and only selling it to other people. You're not selling it in your hometown. You just sell it out in other states. It's like, oh, no, this is awful. We would never sell it here, but we want you to buy it.
All right, we got to get to another break. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. When we come back, we'll get the latest inflation news and interest rates. Stay with us.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, Fed Chair Jerome Powell, sending somewhat different message about lowering interest rates this year.
Yeah, it's longer for higher for longer and data dependent, which is their new phrase for we really don't know what's happening. One of the challenges, and I think it's important to remind people,
I love the way you put that. We don't have a clue.
Well, and the reason I say that is at the beginning of the year, the expectation was for 5 to 6 rate cuts, maybe more. Now the expectation is for 1 or 2, maybe less, or it could possibly go up. It's like that's quite a change in about 6 months' time. And the problem is the data is inconclusive. The Federal Reserve, and, you know, I love the Federal Reserve. They're good guys and ladies. They try hard. But they are all essentially from one economic school. So you don't have much diversity of input. And they all tend to think pretty much the same way on things. And so they get pushed into a thought process that can lead them astray. If you want to look back, you know, six a year or 2 years ago at the Fed forecast, they're almost always wrong, which is a darn shame because they have good economists, but they get trapped into models that don't really work. Ben Bernanke, a former chairman, said perhaps it's time for the Fed to review their models. And I would have to think that's an understatement when you just keep missing it. But one important thing, the Federal Reserve does not set long-term rates. They can affect the short-term rate, but the long-term rate is set by the market. And what's happened is if you look from January till now, the long-term rates have gone up. So if you looked at 30-year rates at the end of the year, you had a target rate of about, let's see, in January, the interest rate was 4.1 for 30-year treasuries. And now, right this minute, 30-year treasuries are trading about 4.7. So almost 60 basis points, which is a lot for the long treasury. So if you'd bought long treasuries at the beginning of the year, you're underwater right now. And that's the same for anything all the way back to 6 months. So rates are higher for every maturity from 6 months out. And remember, this was the year that people were expecting rate cuts, as many as 6 yeah. different rate cuts. So the Fed is looking at this and saying the market is pricing in higher rates. The other thing, and they didn't really talk about it because the Treasury and the Fed don't like this, but they were having long auctions, and the traders were telling them, we're not seeing a lot of demand for long Treasury bills for 10, 20, and 30 year. You better reduce the size of those auctions and sell more short-term bills. And so the Treasury reduced the size of the long auctions because there just wasn't much demand. And they started selling more short-term. Now, that's a concerning sign because it means that the Treasury is not able to finance the deficit in the dependable way they're used to and are having to push back into more short-term financing. And all of this makes the Treasury market very susceptible to higher inflation. And if it does go up, a significant portion of the national debt is short-term in nature. So it would actually go up if rates go up. And it already costs more than the entire defense budget to pay interest on the debt. So Fed's looking at quite a challenge with rates actually trending up at the long end right now.
So the Wall Street Journal was reporting this morning that Freddie Mac said their survey of lenders that the average 30-year fixed mortgage now is about 7.1%, which jumped up and is, I think, the highest that it's been since 2023 the highest since late 2023. And we're beginning to see home sales drop. In fact, they fell 4.3% from February to March, and it seems as though it looks like it's going to continue on that decline. What does that do when we think about inflation and those, when we see these home sales dropping?
Well, it's interesting because when home sales drop, you have an odd effect because you reduce the supply of new homes. Builders slow down their building. You don't end up with much new supply. And so the old homes tend to rent for a higher amount. And the Fed uses an odd number that they call the owner's equivalent rent. It's sort of, well, what could you rent your house for? And that number goes up if home sales go down because there you have less competition. So in an odd way, when you're in higher interest rates, it actually pushes up inflation a bit. And the Freddie Mac number at 7.1 is for the very best borrowers. The normal person off the street's probably playing closer to 7.5 right now, which is a bit of an emotional breakpoint. It's not a high rate over the long haul, but it seems high compared to the twos and threes that we had just a couple years ago.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's just a change in what the Fed is saying. I get the sense it's driving a lot of people crazy. They just can't figure out where they're going to...
You know, and Newell, if you remember at the top of the show, we started talking about anxiety. I think one of the things that makes people anxious is you're not really getting dependable guidance. I mean, you're looking at the Fed, which is pretty much apolitical, and when they can't come up with a consistent storyline on the economy and inflation, then the average consumer says, you know, maybe I should be nervous. Maybe nobody really knows what's coming next, which is actually the truth. And it does cause some anxiety, and that anxiety makes people reluctant to make major purchases, reluctant to start businesses, and to buy things like gold, which is a non-earning asset. So this confusion does have consequences beyond just the press releases that we look at every few months.
Yeah, for sure. As always, Guy, this hour flies by. We truly appreciate your time, your insight. Have a great week. You headed to the Jazz Fest this week?
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
See you out there. Yep, be out there as well. Hope to see you out there. Have a great time this weekend. We'll be right back, folks. We'll check in and Scoots up next as to what he has and whether or not today is a manic Monday. Stay with us. Scoot's up next, and he joins me. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, we'll talk about LSU's baseball team. That's good. We'll talk about LSU's national championship in gymnastics. We'll talk about that. That's good. And we'll talk about the Pelicans. Oh, my God, they broke my heart last night. So close. They were just amazing. And they just missed too many shots, so we'll talk about that. First weekend of Jazz Fest coming up this weekend, and there's a special concert at Tips, so we'll talk about, you might not even know about this. The criminal trial of Trump has started. We'll touch on that. And Trump has reportedly fallen asleep in court a couple of times, and there's a new poll showing that 57% of Americans say they just don't get enough sleep, and they would feel better if they slept more. I know, I'm one of those, so we'll talk about what keeps you up.
I'm on that routine.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Me too, yeah.
Scoots up next, folks. Stay tuned. It's got a great lineup coming your way. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Have a great Monday evening. We'll see you guys again in the morning.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.